So, start of our service.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Steve, for very uplifting and edifying message. And before we start our next set of congregational hymns, we actually have a special announcement. And Brother John, if you would.
If I could have Brother Jim and Sister Katie come up here. This is not only the 50th anniversary of our church, before religion, Sister Katie came, before I came, before most of us came, but it's also his 40th year as pastor.
Amen.
It happens to be the same year.
Amen.
So the church decided to honor them. One of the pastors this past week, one of the preachers this past week, even talked about pastors being given to the church. Mm-hmm. But that is one of God's gifts to the church, is pastors. We as a church, we love our pastor. Obviously, we follow the Bible. We want to fulfill our responsibility to our pastor. The pastor is just one job in the church. There's several ministries, many ministries. Everybody has their own ministry in the church. But the pastor is the most vocal, the most obvious, the most out there. The pastor is the only job listed in the New Testament that is said to have, that is worthy of double honor. Every job is necessary. Every job is there. Every job is important. You're faithful in your job. You can get honor from God. But the Bible tells us that the pastor is worthy of double honor. So we would like to honor our pastor for his 40 years of service, preaching, leading, counseling, comforting, weddings, funerals, and of course his wife. The wife of a pastor is very important too.
Yeah,
so we bring her up too. So the church brought this wall hanging, let your light shine before others, Matthew 5:16, which of course this couple has. And it's to Brother Jim and Sister Katie Crace. Thank you for 40 years of Christian service at Bethel Baptist Church 2020.
Amen.
Amen.
There you go.
Amen.
Amen.
Love you both.
Thank you, Brother.
Amen.
What a wonderful
man. I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
I didn't expect this. I'm more used to speaking with a Bible in my hand, but, you know, I thank God for his, as Brother Cornette has already brought out, we persevere because he preserves us. Mm-hmm. And he's preserved us through these years. And you know, Brother Harry Ballmer was an influence in my life.
Amen.
He said, preserves are sweet, they're not pickled.
Amen.
So we've been treated by everybody in a sweet, just a amazing way. Or else I wouldn't have stayed. There were times I would have stayed. I would have, because God, this is where God wants me.
And
I appreciate the fact that the church called me some 40 years ago. I can't believe it's been that long. So thank you all for it. Thank you very much.
Amen.
You don't want me to hang it up.
Amen.
Thank you. That was a big surprise.
Mm-hmm. All righty then. Let's go ahead and get started with our next hymn. It'll be hymn number 68, He Lives.
Living, whatever is missing, receive His name.
Brother Tom McDonald, if you're ready for your next speech.
Appreciate the opportunity to sing. Love singing for the Lord.
Right.
Haven't been able to do it for this COVID thing going on. I used to sing a little bit in the care centers and stuff for people who couldn't get out to lift them up and encourage them. I don't know if you talk to people about heaven, but it is real. Yeah. Some call it a dreamland. Some call it paradise. And then this song is what I have.
What God has done and what He still promises to do, and then Brother Kettle, and he just brought some really great messages. Is he still your associate pastor?
No, he never was. He's just something there. He just a member.
I thought he was, you know.
No.
You need a hand there, brother?
I don't know, probably. Well, you gonna clap?
Come on up.
Got a couple of guys to get me to pull me up.
Come on, some of the youngsters.
Yeah, some of the young guys come up. Just lift
brother
me up.
Brother Robbie's coming up.
See? You get him, just lift me up. First step. No, that's it.
There's only two steps.
Okay.
We're trying to.
I'll pay you later.
Okay. We're trying to remember back, and I can't remember the year from Brother Ronnie, but whether he was on my ordination.
I don't think I was.
I don't remember.
I'm so old, my name is probably already faded from there anyway.
Yeah, I was looking for the records the other day, and I don't know if I still have those.
You don't have the certificate?
I still got that.
Well, my name would be on it if I was able to. Probably.
We faded out.
That's what we do when we get old.
Old soldiers never die, they just smell it. Alright, a little humor there. Seriously, it's been a blessing, continues to be a blessing for all to be here. And I'd like for us to stand and have a word of prayer. I know you haven't got to stand for a moment, but if you would stand, and if you would, Brother Cameron, would you lead us in prayer?
The Lord, most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for watching over us and keeping us safe and coming into your house and the blessing that we receive by being here and being edified by your word, and Lord, is your power be present, the messages that are brought to service today. We just thank you for the blessings of being able to lift our voices freely to you, to give you the glory and the honor and the praise that you watch over our lives each and every day, and that we owe our very breath to you. And Lord, with each passing moment that we look forward to your return, and we just ask that you would just continue to walk through with us each and every day, and we just ask that we would find ourselves always looking to serve you and to be immersed in your word and your love and the message that your son brought on this earth, Lord, that we're to spread your gospel to all the earth, Lord. And we just ask that the messages that be preached here today, that it might empower us, Lord, and that there might be one amongst us that's not saved, that the messages today would speak to them and speak to their convictions, Lord. And we just ask that for your salvation and your plan and your time, that you would bring them into your flock, Lord. Thank you for saving each and every soul that is among your children, Lord. And we just thank you for the blessings and the grace and the mercy that you showed us, Lord. And we just thank you for those that are our hearts, our minds, our perilous and the perilous times that we're in, Lord. And just how man is so lost and deprived from you, Lord. But we just thank you for allowing us to come into your house and to find comfort and fellowship with your saints, Lord. Just go through with us for the rest of these services, and until we are able to come to you and under your throne, Lord, just forgive us of our sins. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, that we pray. Amen.
And you may be seated. Amen. I'd like to remind you to sign in if you haven't. After Brother Ronnie, we're going to have probably a couple more songs. Depending on how long he goes, you got all the time you want, brother, indeed. But then we're going to have lunch downstairs. And you go down to the back corner here and down the steps, and you'll find your way down there. And I think the ladies have done really well to bring the food. So without any further ado.
Is that for the afternoon preachers, too, as long as we need?
Sounds really gracious for Brother Mark. Yeah, I'm just curious if that's for
you. I may have to sit in here behind you.
Well, yeah.
He's going to push the limit.
Hey, brother, that's a nicety.
It is.
That means he doesn't mean what he said.
That's right. A nicety. Go ahead, brother.
Brother Cornett, I really love that message. It's challenging. I really enjoy it. I love the Word of God.
Amen.
And it's a challenge because we're not just to read the Word of God. You know, I tell people, I say, you know, I'll read the New Testament through every month. Oh, that's wonderful. I didn't know anybody ever could do that. I said, oh, yeah. But I said, that's not the important part. I'm supposed to do it,
yeah.
Not just read it, you know. And another thing I loved about his message was the way he presented it. Because he actually looked at his watch as if he cared how long it took to preach. That was nice. I loved it. It's good to see preachers and friends here that I haven't seen in a long time. These little kids over here used to be little kids. They're not little kids anymore. But I recognize them because they put their face, they splatter them all over Facebook once in a while. And I wasn't too surprised when I saw them. But I want to say a happy anniversary to our church here.
Yeah.
50 years is a long time.
Yeah.
And God has been good. I knew Brother Pennington just a little bit. I didn't know him very well. Mm-hmm. I wasn't around much. I'd met him. That's about it, you know. I understand he was a wonderful man, and Brother Grace has been here for 40 years, and he's ahead of me. I've been First Baptist 38 years, and that's almost as old as I am. So, now let's go into our Bibles in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading with verse 3 and read down through verse number 6. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Father, we honor you for who you are. Thank you for creation. Thank you for our blessings. Thank you, Lord, that you supply everything we need to serve you. And even though we may not have the most comfortable lives, maybe persecution may come, and yet we know that we are settled in you. We thank you for that. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins, and take this message, the Word of God, and use it to your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
The hidden gospel. The gospel was not hidden in the beginning. When God created the world, it was without form and void. What he did, he created the material that he was going to use to make the universe that we know a little bit about today. We don't know much about the universe. Some scientists think they do, but they really don't know nearly as much as they would like to, or even as they think they do. And we noticed that light was one of the first things that God created. Light. And when Adam was created, he had perfect knowledge of all things. He had a perfect human brain. No sin, nothing to shade his knowledge or understanding. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could actually just understand everything? I think when Adam looked at something, he immediately knew what it was. Now, they tell us that we use about 10% of our brain. I have no idea how they can possibly know that. Because in order to know 10%, you'd have to know what the 100% is, and nobody knows what the 100% is. So the 10%, I mean, I don't know what percent. All I know is the longer a man lives on the earth, the less brain power he has. I'm convinced of that. All you have to do is read a few old books, and you'll find out we preachers can't preach like our forefathers did. And so Adam knew all things. He knew everything. Now, he didn't know as much as God knew. Of course, God knows everything. But what, and 1 John 2:20, if, I don't know if you can turn that this quickly or not, but 1 John 2:20, it says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that I'm smart enough to know everything you know, and you're smart enough? No, that's not what it means. All things means you know physical things, and you know spiritual things. That's the all things. Adam knew physical things, but Adam also knew spiritual things. He had a personal relationship with God, walked with God, talked with God, fellowship with God, was not ashamed in the presence of God, had no guilt in the presence of God. And so the gospel itself, actually was no need for a gospel right then, but there was nothing spiritual hidden from him.
Right.
Because when God gave light, you know the Bible says in John chapter 1 that he lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That means he gives him some understanding so he can see God in nature. All you have to do is go up, look up, or look around you and see the creation and the things that that have developed in history, and you'll find that you'll know God. That's why Romans 1 says that they knew God, but they didn't recognize him as God. And so, when he sinned, however, his mind was blinded. I was asking Brother Ed Kittle not long ago, because I had forgotten. I didn't know. I think he told me at one time, but I said, now, Brother Ed, how did you lose your sight? He said, I slipped on the ice and fell on the concrete. And he's blind. I said, that has to be a terrible thing to be able to see and to read and to walk around and do things. And he has been a busy man in his ministry. I mean, he didn't slow down for anybody or anything. And all of a sudden, the sight is gone. Can you imagine what that would be like? And yet, that's how Adam was. Adam knew everything there was to know for a man's mind to know. And then all of a sudden, he's blind. He can see spirit. He can see physical things. He can know that God created the world. He can know that there is a God. I mean, he had experience with God. He talked with God. He knew all about that. But he had no spiritual understanding because he was blind. And we know from 2 Corinthians 4:4, we know that this was the work of Satan. It says there, for 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world, you know, a lot of people that say, I believe in God. Well, that's not enough, is it? Because we all know that there's a capital G God and there's a little G God. Or this one in this verse, the translators were correct when they left the little G there. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now you see, there was really no need for belief in the sense that we believe in Christ and are saved before Adam sinned. And so after he fell, he needed to believe. But he didn't, because he was blinded.
Yeah.
He didn't know to believe. He didn't know what to believe. I mean, he was ashamed in the presence of God. He thought he was naked. Before, he didn't know he was naked. All of a sudden, he knew he was naked because God had brought sin to his knowledge, and he knew what sin was.
Right.
Just like Satan said he would. Satan said, you'll know good from evil. And you know, some things you just don't need to know. I'm appalled that some of our kindergarten, first, second, third grade teachers who are teaching the children things that they don't need to know.
Amen.
And bad enough to know them when you're an adult, but they at least ought to wait a few years and let the family deal with some of those sexual things in the life, you know. But they're teaching them to our little ones. Well, that's off subject. So Adam and Eve, they began then to believe Satan rather than believing in God, didn't they? They turned actually from God to Satan. And our text says, them that believe not. So Satan blinded their eyes. And so the gospel is not hidden. It wasn't hidden in the beginning. But secondly, but God gave the light of the gospel.
Amen.
One of the first messages that God gave to Adam was the gospel. Genesis 3:15, most of us know it by heart, don't we?
Yeah.
That was the gospel. You know why? Because nobody can be saved without the gospel.
That's right.
Adam couldn't be saved until he heard the gospel.
That's right.
Now, I was watching on the Facebook. I spend about 20 minutes every morning going through Facebook. I've got 2,900 friends. Can you believe I'm friends with all those people? 2,900 friends, and they all have something to say. Well, I'm trying to go through to see which preachers died and who's sick and all that, you know, all the stuff going on. And I listened to one guy, and he was talking about, are you a Calvinist?
Yeah.
Are you a Calvinist? You don't need to be a Calvinist. I mean, can we decide to be saved? And I went on, I listened about a minute and a half, and I said, that's garbage. And I hid it, but they tell me now you hide it from yourself, but you don't hide it from anybody else, which is terrible. But anyway, you know, God gives the light.
Amen.
You see, the gospel has to be preached. And so Satan blinded their eyes. And the only way that he could believe was through the gospel. Now let's read that verse in Genesis 3:15. It says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between Satan and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. A prediction, a prophecy, that, of course, has already been fulfilled. And that is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel is not words. The gospel is not just a message.
That's right.
The gospel is works. I wrote a little tract one time, and people didn't understand it. I said, Jesus Christ went to heaven by good works. He couldn't go to heaven until he had completed the work that he did on Calvary. And the work that he did on living a perfect life so he could impute that life to us.
Right.
And so when he said it is finished on Calvary, it was done. All of his work was done.
Amen.
Yes.
And so he went to heaven by his good works. You and I cannot go to heaven by our good works. We must go to heaven through faith. Not long after that, I was listening to this couple of men on there, and they were saying, can you be saved by faith alone? I said, that doesn't even sound good when they're asking that question right out, right first name. That doesn't sound right. Now, they're a bunch of Camelites is what they were. They wanted to tell you that you had to be baptized to be saved. And that they even quoted, not of works, as any man should boast. And I said, those guys are idiots. If baptism isn't a work, then why do we do it?
Right.
Why do we put people in the water and dunk them up and break them up? That's not work. You have somebody that baptizes a big fat guy, that's work. I mean, that's not just faith, that's work. I've seen people do that, you know, almost drown the person. We had one heavy lady that wanted to be, she's a handicapped, and she wanted to be baptized. And Steve Dillon went, oh. Because he doesn't baptize for me, brother. And so he had somebody to help him. Because, I mean, this lady was a heavy lady, and she was handicapped. She couldn't help herself, so she was like dead weight, you know. So they just sort of lowered her down under the water and brought her back up, you know, but that's work. That's work. So we are saved by grace through faith alone. Now, Adam and Eve needed a gospel. So Genesis 3:15 was the answer to that. Number three, the gospel is hidden to the world today. And we need to understand that. People are lost in their sins. Just as Adam and Eve were lost in their sin after they sinned. They were completely lost. No hope. There was no hope for Adam and Eve. None. And God didn't tell them to do anything. He didn't tell Adam, now Adam, you go down there and dip seven times in the Jordan River. He didn't say, walk 10 miles and come back. He didn't say, do this and do that. No, he said, here's what you need right here, Genesis 3:15.
Right. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And God did all that.
Amen.
He did all that. He said, I'm going to tell you a story about something that's going to happen a whole long time after this. And you know, when Adam and Eve received those skins, their clothes, they believed what God taught them.
Amen.
In that gospel. Did you know that believing the gospel and obeying the gospel is the same thing?
Right.
It is. That's what obeying the gospel. You know, the Camelites like to say, well, you got to obey the gospel. Obey the gospel. Well, you know, I can tell you all, please, everybody stand up. You stand up, you'll be obeying my words. But if I say, sit down and shut up, and you do it, you're still obeying my word.
Right.
I mean, you're stopping doing something, not starting to do something. You're stopping to do something. So when God says, you know, believe, that's obeying the gospel.
Amen.
Romans 10 says they have not all obeyed the gospel because Isaiah said, who hath believed our report?
Right.
He actually quoted a verse in the Old Testament said to believe by expressing what it meant to obey the gospel. They have not all obeyed the gospel, but Isaiah said, who hath believed our report? So Adam and Eve had to believe. They didn't have to work. They had to believe the gospel.
Amen.
And so, the Bible says in 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Mm-hmm. And so what he does now in this verse, he's dividing the saved from the lost. The lost to the world. That's the people of the world. They love the world. They don't love God. They say they do. They want to sometimes. They hope they do. They think they do. But you don't love God until you have faith in Him.
Amen.
You don't love God until you've repented of your sins and turned from them and put your complete faith and trust in the work that Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. That's His work. And we believe in His work.
Yeah.
Even when Israel had the law of God before them, their minds were blinded. In 2 Corinthians 3:14, it says, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Mm-hmm. So even Israel, who had the blessings of God, they were chosen as the nation of God, they were blessed of God, and all that kind of thing, and God gave them the law so they could see their sin, so they could know how sinful they were, to bring them to Christ. The law is to bring us to Christ. That's its duty. But it didn't bring them to Christ. It took a miracle of God's grace to bring them to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so the gospel is hidden to the world, even the Jews. I don't know about you. This is not in my message, but I'm a little... What word should I use? Cut out, maybe, we might say, with our Jewish Christians. Now, I'm not saying they're not saved. That's not my job to judge who's saved or not. I don't ever get into that. I don't say so-and-so is not saved or is saved. It's not my job.
Amen.
That's God's job. But when they try to get us to celebrate their holidays, what's the difference in that and celebrating the Roman Catholic holidays or the Islam holidays? Nothing different.
Right.
And I get that Israel's My Glory every month, and I read it almost cover to cover. And I enjoy a lot of their articles, but their advertisements are, here's a booklet that you can use when you celebrate this or that or the other. And I'm thinking, no. The whole book of Hebrews and the book of Galatians are written in order for those Jews to get away from Judaism and to put all their faith and trust in Christ.
Amen.
So it seems to me that the Jew is really worse off than the general world.
Yeah.
Now, they're blinded to things.
Right.
But the Jew is reading the Old Testament. He ought to be able to see Christ in there.
That's right.
And I'm sure he does see the Messiah, but they've already passed him up. So what does it take to persuade them?
The Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the gospel. That's it. Next point is... the light comes through the gospel. Well, 2 Corinthians 4:5 says, for we preach not ourselves. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, he said, I didn't come down there to preach simple things to you and to preach me, and I'm the best, and I'm the greatest, and I'm the smartest, and you better do what I say. He said, I didn't come down there like, he said, I came to preach Christ to you. He told the Corinthians the same thing. He said, I didn't come to preach me, I came to preach Christ. So he said in Corinthians, therefore, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, I want you to put me aside, and I want you to see the Messiah that I'm preaching to you.
Amen.
I want you to hear His word. Now, verse 6 goes on to say, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Do you remember the day you were saved? I do. Now, some of you might think this is odd. Probably not nowadays. It used to be they would do more than they do now. But I've heard, had preachers to say, if you don't know the exact day and the exact hour that you were saved, you're probably not saved. Well, you know, when I was saved, I didn't write down the day, and I didn't write down the, I don't know what day it was. I don't know what hour it was, but I know one thing. I'm not what I used to be.
Amen.
Once I was lost, and now I'm found. Once I was dead, now I'm alive.
Amen.
Once I didn't believe, now I believe. That's all I need to know.
Amen.
I was so upset about that because these older preachers that I knew, and I love them to death, but they kept preaching that. If you don't know the exact day of the night, I'm thinking, well, I don't know. And I got all upset about it. And one morning I woke up and I was really upset about that. And I woke up and I had my hand on my bookshelf. There's about six shelves of books made out of metal. And I couldn't let go. I just kept pulling and I poured all those books around in the floor. And I went over to the college and I talked to one of the teachers over there and I said, man, I don't know what day I was saved and what minute I was saved, what hour I was saved. And he said, well, do you believe in the Lord right now? I said, well, sure. He said, well, then what's your problem? End the story, end the problem.
Amen.
See, that's what you need to know. Do you believe in the Lord? Has he turned the light on in your life? That's the question. And so that light comes through the gospel. 2 Timothy 1:10 says, but it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. Well, I like that, don't you? Abolished death. Now, I may die one day. I may not. I may go in the rapture. But I may die one of these days because it's appointed. You know, you may die. It's a natural thing. But the Lord has abolished it. And those who believe, they will never die. Now, your body will die, but you won't die. Because you're going to live forever. Because we have eternal life, don't we? And so it says, but it's now made manifest in the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Life and immortality means eternal life, doesn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ brought life to us, eternal life. That's the only life he gives. Eternal life. John 3:36 says we have it right now.
Amen.
We have eternal life right now. And if you have that, I told the church not long ago, talking about something about security in life, and I said, you know, in order for you to lose your salvation, since God brought you to life, God would have to kill you spiritually for you to lose your salvation. Because he resurrected you to new life, didn't he? He gave you eternal life, didn't he? Well, in order to lose it, he'd have to kill you. Now, has God done it? Is he in the killing business spiritually? I don't think so. So I love eternal security. The only thing is we have to handle it with gentle gloves.
That's true.
And carefully.
That's true.
Because if we don't, we'll sit back and think it's okay not to do anything.
Yeah.
Eternal security is not here for us to not do anything. It's here to encourage us to be faithful.
Amen.
And I thought of two verses, brother, when you were preaching. One of them is patient waiting. The Bible talks about patient waiting. In Romans, it talks about, or I may have these reversed, it talks about patient continuance. Do you know in the Greek they're exactly the same word? It's one word, exactly the same word. Patient waiting for Christ and patient continuance in Christ. They mean the same thing. If you're waiting for Christ, you're supposed to continue on and continue on.
Amen.
And so that means that we have to first hear the gospel. Romans 10:17, you know probably, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We don't have to press that in your mind, I'm sure. I want you to turn, though, to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. A few years ago, I've read this 100 times, but it just sort of impressed upon me, and I've remembered it ever since. I don't know why I didn't remember it before. But sometimes, you know, the Lord does that to you, and the scripture just goes,
right.
Pow, you know, and it's like a branding iron, you know, right there. Verse 13, it says, in whom ye also trusted, there's your faith, see, after that ye heard the word of truth. You believed or trusted after you heard the word of truth. You must hear first.
Yeah.
That puts a great obligation on every one of us, doesn't it?
Amen.
Must hear first. And he calls it the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit the promise. You heard, you believed, and you received. That's a wonderful situation to be in. Then, in John 8, verse 12, it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life."
Right.
Now, you could say, in a way, that you have the light of life now because you can see, you can walk around, you can do things, you know, and you live, and so on like that. But he's not talking about that. He's talking about the true light. He's talking about knowing Jesus Christ and eternal life and knowing spiritual things and understanding who Jesus is and what he did for us. So if the light comes through the gospel, then we as God's children should be ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, ye are ambassadors for Christ. It didn't say you should be ambassadors for Christ. Now, an ambassador for a king or whatever, he is an ambassador. But he can be a good one, or he can be a bad one. If he is to deliver a message to another important person in another country or something, and he doesn't go, then he's a bad ambassador.
Sure.
Or if he opens the envelope and changes the message and seals it back, he's a bad ambassador. And so if you and I, as ambassador of Jesus Christ, he says you are ambassador, so you're either a good one or you're a bad one. We have a message to deliver. If you don't deliver it, you're a bad ambassador.
Right.
A bad one. If you do, you're a good one.
Amen.
I'd like to be a good ambassador for Christ, wouldn't you?
No.
I really would. 1 Peter 2:9 says you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath caused you out of darkness into a marvelous light.
Amen.
And so the gospel is not given to us.
No.
But we know it. We believe it. We follow it. Now, we have to walk in that light. 1 John 1:7. But if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now see, Adam had fellowship with his wife, and he hobnobbed with, he maybe even talked to the animals, I don't know. That silly snake that came in there, he talked. That was Satan, I don't know, some people think the animals talk, I don't know, I wasn't there. And just like a revolutionist, they weren't there in the beginning, so they don't know how the world came into being. But Adam was there, you know. And it says that we walk in the light as he is in the light. That's a spiritual life. We have fellowship one with another. If we're saved, we should have wonderful fellowship with believers.
Amen.
And you know, I can have good Christian fellowship with almost anybody that's a Christian.
Amen.
I don't care what denomination they're in. I don't care. If they tell me that they trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior and they believe that salvation is by grace through faith, I can have really good fellowship with them.
Mm-hmm.
I can't have church fellowship at all
with
many of them. But I can have good Christian fellowship. You know why? Because we walk and walking in the light. We're seeing the same thing. We're seeing God at work. We're seeing God created the world. We're seeing that God is in every one of us. We're seeing so many things, and we believe the Bible is true, and we can just have really good Christian fellowship. So he says, if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, have fellowship one with another, and something else is happening as we walk in the light. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Why thought he did that back on the cross? Well, yeah, he did. But you see, we get our feet muddy all the time in our Christian life, don't we? We get sin all over our boots and all over our pant legs and on our skirts and on our hats and on our gloves. We get sin everywhere. And as we live, God is cleansing us from all sin. I love that, don't you?
Amen.
Everybody should take a bath every day. Now, many years ago, back in the early 1800s, mid-1800s, they took a bath every Saturday. How would you like to live in a place where they took a bath every Saturday and no other day? I don't think I'd want to do that. Now, I'm sure out in the country where we live, we probably went 2 days, 3 days, maybe we got taken a bath, or we went swimming or something, you know, like that. But every minute of the day, Jesus Christ is cleansing you from all sin.
Amen.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Isn't that great? And so we must walk in the light. One day then, we will literally walk in the light of the New Jerusalem.
That's right.
Somebody says, I can't wait. And I've got to figure out that's not scriptural because the Bible says wait. Mm-hmm. Patient waiting. Patient continues. Wait. Wait and pray. Serve. And we're just supposed to continue, aren't we? Revelation 21:24 says that the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. I don't know what all that means. I really don't. I don't know if anybody knows exactly what that means. Exactly. But I know one thing. There won't be any darkness there.
Right. Sure. Amen.
You know, some people are afraid of the dark. I've never really been afraid of the dark itself. I was always afraid of what might be in the dark. You know? This little boy, I think he was about 11 or 12 years old, went with me down to Crab Orchard, Kentucky, because I was a pastor in a Crab Orchard. And he would go with me on the weekends, and sometimes some other kids would go with me. And we'd go down there. And one night after church, we were coming home, and Joe lived in Lexington. And so I was all the way back to Lexington. And the kids got in the car, and he was missing. His name was Donnie. I said, where is Donnie? I don't know. The other boy said, I saw him go back in the graveyard back there. I said, what? And it was dark. And I finally yelled at him. He came out. I said, what are you doing? He says, I just wanted to show you I'm not afraid to walk in the dark in the graveyard. I said, you're an idiot. But he proved his point. He wasn't afraid of the dark. I'm not afraid of the dark, as I said. I'm afraid of something that might be, walking around in the dark. But one day there won't be any.
Amen.
Won't be any darkness. Not only that, but spiritually, there's no darkness in your life. It's all light. There's darkness in the world, and we need to know there's darkness in the world. And every once in a while, we walk up against that darkness. Sometimes we walk in the darkness. And it scares us. We see all this stuff happening around us, and it scares us. We have a couple of people in our church, they don't even go out their front door. They are afraid. They go once every 2 weeks to the grocery store and get enough groceries to last 2 weeks, and the rest of the time, they don't even open the front door. They're scared of the dark. I mean, I don't blame them for being afraid. I'm just sorry for them. They're that afraid. You know, and so it's fear. But you know, there won't be any fear.
No.
There's no fear in love.
Amen.
God loves us with an everlasting love, and there's no fear in love. So we don't need to fear. Sometimes we need to be careful. We need to watch and all that. But we don't need to fear because Christ has everything in hand. God has everything in hand. But my challenge to you today is we have a light, like a flashlight, to shine it upon the sins of others. Because that's why they don't want the light, because when they come to the light, it reveals their sinfulness.
Right.
They don't want to come into the light of God. But the gospel story that we tell them as it relates to the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross in his death, burial, and resurrection, if those people can understand that by the grace of God and they can believe and trust in him as their personal Savior, the light turns on. And we have shined the light on them by preaching to them the gospel.
Amen.
One of the main duties of a church is to preach the gospel.
Amen.
And we need to keep doing it.
Thank you.
Over and over again. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you. Casey.
You come on.
Thank you, brother. God bless you. That was a great message. Great message.
Oh, I thought you were
He's going to do that too.
You both.